Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 22, Genesis chapter number 2, some really great music tonight from the great songs for the congregational singing At the Cross, Nothing But the Blood. I enjoyed the piano solo and also enjoyed that special too. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Isn't that wonderful? We're free from sin and we are not servants of sin anymore. I'm thankful for the day that when we get to heaven, we're going to be free from the presence of sin. That's for sure. But we don't have to be under the bondage of sin. I'm thankful for that. Okay, Genesis chapter number 2. If you're having trouble finding it, it's the first book in the Bible. So it's okay. We all had to learn that sooner or later. So it was Genesis. It's right at the beginning, chapter number 22. This morning we spoke a little bit about not being conformed to this world and not allowing the world to not to fashion herself after the world, and how we looked at that word conformed is found twice in the Bible. It is two different Greek words, but we talked about not being conformed to the world, but also conformed into the image of his son, talking about Jesus. And if we're going to fashion our lives according to something, it should not be according to the themes and all the different things that the world is trying to push on us. It should be instead desiring to becoming more like Christ. And how do we do that? By the renewing of our mind. But it begins in verse number 1 when it says, presenting our bodies, this is chapter 12 in Romans, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. And here's the question that we're going to think about tonight is, what if God asked us for our best? Or what if God asked us for that thing that's most precious to us? And can we trust God with our best? If you think for a second, what would you consider the most best? That's not proper English. At least I don't think it is. The best, the most valuable, the most precious thing in your life, except for your not counting your relationship with God, what would you think would be the most valuable or the most best? Is that proper English there, Miss Karen? Yeah, she says it's fine. So think about it. What would that be? You know, it's different things to different people. I know for Mr. Scott Lawrence, it would be a tough question. He'd have to pick between his race car, Alyssa and Laura. You know, which one of those things are the most valuable thing in his life? And we won't make him answer, though. So. So I forgot about the dog too. So the dog's up there. The dog's pretty high too. You know, there are things that are really, really precious to us, and we like to say, you know, with our family being around, of course, it's our relationship with our wife or with our husband. I'm sure some moms would say it's that child. Or that kid, or that son, or that daughter. Some people that put such an emphasis on possessions, they might be that one special possession that is worth more to anything. Maybe it could be a family heirloom. For others, it could be the future. You know, I think of young people. I see a lot of young people around the room, and they might say, you know, the thing that's most valuable to me is that future that I have. That future, what God's got planned for me, or even what I desire to do. But so when we talk about submitting or presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, the question is, but what if God comes and asks for our best? Can we trust him with our best? And the obvious answer is yes. But when we look at this passage of scripture, God comes to Abraham, and he says to Abraham, I want your son. I want your the son that you love, your beloved son. I want you to sacrifice him, as most of us know the story already. And Abraham, how he responds is really special. Abraham demonstrates something here, that his relationship with God is more valuable than anything. Some people say, well, why would God do this? Why would God ask this? What is the purpose behind it? And we don't always know his ways. Now, who's God's instructor? Many people want to be God's instructor, but God doesn't need instructing from anyone. But here in this story, Abraham is going to learn something about himself. Something that I believe God already knew. Remember when there's a question that is asked, when God asks us the question, he's not asking to gain knowledge. He's revealing something about himself to you, or revealing something about you to yourself, or revealing something about circumstances or other people to you. And here in this story, he comes to Abraham and says, there's something I want. Now, it doesn't start here. If you go back and you go back to chapters, I believe this is in Genesis chapter number 12. God invites Abraham on a walk. God invites him on a journey of faith. God tells him to get up and get out of your land. And we've seen from chapter 12 to verse chapter 22, there's been a lot of great, great stories in there that God has just blessed Abraham. And Abraham has been super patient. Can you imagine being a patient Abraham, dealing with Lot, raising Lot, having Lot go to Sodom, and then having rescuing Lot, and then still having to go to God on behalf of Lot, and you know, getting him out of the Sodom and Gomorrah before it burns out? And then you think about dealing with Sarah, and then what happens with Hagar, and having the promise that's been given that there's going to be a blessing, and that that blessing is going to be something that his seed is going to be a blessing for all generations. He's told Abraham, your seed is going to be like as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. And for he didn't have a kid until like he was almost 100 years old or 100 years old. So there, in this journey of faith he's going in, Abraham has submitted time and time and time again. He's trusted God time and time again. He wouldn't take anything from the king of Sodom. He you know, God came in and says, I'm thy exceeding great reward. But he comes in chapter number 2 and he does something that teaches us something, but also taught him something about himself. And if we're going to present our body as a living sacrifice, that means that we need to be willing to give our best to God. Isn't that what we should do in the first place? You think about the sacrifices that are required in the Old Testament. That lamb, it was supposed to be the best. You go to the book of Malachi, and there is talks about them trying to give the sacrifice to the sacrifices that are messed up, the sheep that had blemishes, or the sheep that were blind. And in Malachi, he says, "Why don't you try to give that to your governor and see what he thinks? You shouldn't be giving less to God. You shouldn't be giving your second best. God deserves our best." And he comes in. So the question is, what do we do when God asks us for our best? I've been around people and I've seen people, and I've seen how their worlds have been turned upside down because a broken relationship, or because they have lost something, or because they have lost a job, or because of something or another. And the reality is that God didn't have the right place in their life. Something else was first, and it was taken away, and they became a total mess because God came for their best, and they weren't willing to give it. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 2. And I want you to think for a little while what it's like when God comes for your best. And I do want you to have this thought. Abraham's journey of faith is something that he is at a spot that God is going to use this man to be, they're going to call it, you know, Father Abraham. He is going to be a father of a great nation. He has come a long way. He has a great walk with God. He loves the Lord, and God is showing him something about himself. And because he's willing to give his best, you're going to continue to see God bless. I wrote down here, and I says, I wonder where we would be at in our journey of our faith if we were willing to give God our best time and time again, just like Abraham did. Many of us are not that spot. Many of us, God wouldn't come and say, hey, I want you to do this, because we're not ready for that. But I wonder where we would be at in our Christian life, in our walk of faith, if we live by faith more often. I mean, sometimes we turn around and we look and say, I'm stuck in the same place where I was before, where I was 10 years, 20 years ago. I don't know much more about the Bible. I haven't won anyone to Christ. I haven't made a difference in anyone's life. I've been faithful. We say the word faithful, but many times we're just consistent. Faithful means that we're actually full of faith. People who show up all the time, they're dependable. And I'm thankful for dependable people. But if we really, truly want to be faithful people, you know what that means? We're going to be people that are full of faith and pushing forward by faith. And I'm thankful for those that are dependable. I'm thankful for those that are faithful. And I want to encourage you tonight, where would you be at if you're willing to give God your best? As we mentioned this morning, laying your best on the altar is a living sacrifice. What is the most important thing in your life? Could it be your husband or wife? Could it be your future? Or could it be that future husband or wife? Could it be that job, that career? What if God said, that's what I want? Maybe the plan is to be a doctor or a lawyer, and God says, no, I want you to do something more important. So what could be more important than that? Whatever God wants it to be, because that's more important. Are you willing to give that child that's so precious to you? Now, he comes here, and it says in 1st chapter 22, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, I want you to think for a second about that word tempt. Often that we think about how that implies to an enticement to do evil. That is not what the scripture is talking about here. It is to try, and it is to prove Abraham. It is important to note that God does not tempt us to do evil. James chapter 1 tells us, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So God is not tempting him to do evil. God is trying Abraham. He is proving Abraham. And once again, he doesn't need to know this knowledge. God already knows what Abraham's going to do. And said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here, and he said, God is speaking here, said unto him, Abraham, this is God speaking. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of a son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Lord, as we consider this thought about not letting the world conform us into our image, its image, As we consider what it means to live it as in a biblical worldview, sometimes we got to come to this point that we realize, Lord, help us understand. There's idols in our lives. There are things that we have put an inappropriate amount of attention and affection on. And the only way that we're going to be able to truly be blessed by you and to truly have a biblical worldview is not to let these things conform us, but instead have a great desire to be conformed into the image of your Son. God, as we look at this passage of Scripture, help us to understand we can trust you with our best. Lord, no matter what it is, it's something that we can trust you with. Whether it's our time, our future, our job, our child, our mate, and our possessions. God, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things tonight. The first thing I want you to think about is the request. Now, request might not be the best of words, but it's more like a command here. God comes to Abraham and God says, hey, look, I want you to do something. And in this request, you see what he says here. He says in verse number 2, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. We see this word request here. What's he requesting? He's requesting Abraham's best. He's not requesting secondhand. He's not requesting, hey, give me some of those millions of cattle that you have. Give me some of that land. He doesn't even say, give me Ishmael. He says, I want Isaac. It's sort of like me going up, and since Andrew's here, and me saying, hey, God, I'll give you Christian, but I don't want to give you Andrew because he's more special. Of course, we all know that's a joke, right? But at the same time, you know, I love my sons, and I love them equally. They both have great talents and abilities. If God asked for any of them in this form, this would be tough. But in all reality, we gave our children to the Lord a long time ago. Now, do we want to take them back sometimes? Do we want to worry over them sometimes? Do we want to try to do this or do that for them? And sometimes when Christian's getting ready to travel by himself a long ways, you know, we have a word of prayer. You know, many times when I'm praying, I say, Lord, we gave him to you a long time ago, and Lord, we're going to continue to trust you with him. Please take care of him. And the reason is because they don't belong to me. They belong to him. And God comes to Abraham, and he says, look, I don't want your second best here. He says, this is what I want from you. And so when God asks for something, the request is for his best. But not only is he requesting his best, he's requesting his dreams. You know, many people have dreams. Many people have aspiration. Many people have desires. But God had promised Abraham many years earlier that he was going to have his seed was going to be multiplying, and that this is just a reconfirmation of the promises that God had already given to him. And he says, Abraham, not only do I want your son, the son that you love, Abraham, that includes your dreams too. Because if our dream isn't to be right with the Lord, if our dream isn't, hey, how can I serve God? How can I give this over to God? He says, Abraham, I want your best, and I want everything that encompasses. I want your dreams also. And then you think about it, not only that, he asked for the unexplainable. You say, Pastor, I don't understand this passage of Scripture. Can you tell me why God would ask for this? I don't know about you, but it's a powerful message. It's a great message. I don't know what Abraham was doing, if there was something in Abraham's heart, but the amazing thing is God knows what's in your heart. He knows where you have the wrong emphasis sometimes. He knows that there's something that is an affection of yours that is rising up, that's in competition with him. He knows if sometimes things need to be realized that they're not as important as God is. And sometimes something is put on the spot, and the question is, are you able to trust God with your best? What if God comes a knocking and God says, hey, I want this, and that's what you love the most? So not only is he saying, I want your best, not only is he saying, hey, I want your dreams, it's unexplainable. I can't really explain why God would say that. I can give reasons, I can have consideration, but here, to say that he wants him to sacrifice his own son, then who can explain that? But God himself. I want you to see here the second thing. I want you to see Abraham's response. And this is probably the biggest part of the message is, how do we respond when God comes for our best? How do we respond when God says, hey, that thing you love so much, are you willing to give it to me? That thing that you care about so much, are you willing to give it over to me? That thing that holds you in that relationship away from me, are you willing to give that to me? Look how Abraham responds. The first thing I want you to see here in verse number 3 is he responded promptly. Look what it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. And I don't know about you, but if there's something I don't want to do and there's something I want to put off or something sometimes I don't really want to get up early to do it. I don't like getting up early pretty much any time. I do it when I have to, I need to. I like to be a morning person, just really not. He says, but he said he got up, rose up early in the morning. He did it promptly. When God comes seeking your best, when God comes looking for something, if God says it, you know it's coming from God, the answer should be yes. Here it is, Lord. I'm nothing but a living sacrifice. But not only does he do it promptly, he does it in a prepared way. Look what he says. And saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went up to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. So you see what here, he actually is prepared to give his best. He doesn't just say, okay, God, you want Isaac, you want me to travel there, I'm going to go because you made me go. No. He says, hey, I'm going to take him, we're going to head out, but I'm going to take the wood, I'm going to take the knife, I'm going to take the fire, I'm going to take everything that's needed to perform what you've asked me to do. And in giving God our best, it means that we're making preparations. When God is asking, he wants us to do something, we need to be prepared. When God asks for something, we should be willing to do it in a prepared way to where we're answering God's call. It means, hey, yes, Lord, you can have my child. It means I'm raising them, nurturing ammunition of the Lord, and raising them to say, hey, don't do what I want you to do with your life. Do what God wants you to do. I had at Brother Browder's funeral yesterday, all three of the men preached, the boys preached, and they were all pastors. And one of them says, you know, Pastor Browder never asked us to be pastors. He never ever said we had to be that. It was God's calling on their life. And that's wonderful. But he was preparing them to be ready for that call. Are you prepared to give God your best? Not only is it prepared, it was personal. Look what it says in verse number 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I have those two words, and worship, underlined. That's probably my favorite part of the story. As Abraham is looking at this, you don't see him whining, you don't see him complaining, you don't see him questioning, you don't see him waiting later on in the night, you don't see him going at this halfway. He's prepared. But he looks at these young men, he says, we're leaving here now, and we're going up yonder, and we're going up to do what? He doesn't say he's going up to sacrifice his son, because if he did that, don't you think they might have tried to stop him? I mean, this guy's over 100 years old now. If he would have brought those two guys with him, they probably would have tried to restrain Abraham from killing his son. Could you believe that? That's ridiculous. That's unexplainable. Nobody else could understand that. But you see that Abraham understood it. And even more interesting, you see that Abraham's son understood it too. And it's a challenge here. When you look at it, he says, here, this is what we're doing. And he views it as worship. God comes and says, I want your best. I want that thing that you love and that you love so much. He says, I want that. And Abraham says, okay, I'm going to go worship. I'm going to be willing to sacrifice it. Because that's what true worship is. God, you are worthy. You are above all. God, you are worth it. God, if you ask for it, you deserve it. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So is God worth your best? He sure is. Because it's a form of worship. It's personal. It goes, and sometimes, and I'm definitely not saying these two guys that are helping him, but sometimes you have to leave certain things behind in order to worship God properly.
Sometimes you have to leave those things that are going to inhibit us from being able to worship properly behind and say, hey, look, we're going up yonder, we're going to worship. He knew if those two came with him, they wouldn't understand that maybe they would try to, I don't know, tie up Abraham. I don't know if they had crazy farms back then or crazy houses. They might try to send him to the crazy house or to the old folks home. I don't know. But all those things combined, he knew that there was something he had to leave behind to worship. And sometimes in our life when God's saying, hey, look, there's something you're missing here. You're missing the value that I can be in your life. Are you really willing to give your best to him? And once again, I don't know what your best is. I know sometimes some of the most valuable possessions in a child's life might be a teddy bear, or it might be an animal they had for a long time. I know some people who love their dogs or their cats so much that they care more about that than their kids. And, you know, it's amazing what they put priorities on. But God is coming to Abraham, and God is saying, I want your best. And he makes it personal. He makes it praise-filled, but he also does it in a precise way. Look what it says in verse number 9. It says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. So Abraham is not doing this halfway. Abraham is doing this exactly the way that God had told him. Abraham's not doing this in a way that's going to, okay, God, you want my best, I'll give you a portion of it. God, if you want your best, I'll negotiate with you and try to get you to, if I give you maybe Ishmael, is that good enough? If I go the two-day journey, if I only go over to here, God, you know, that's how we work sometimes. God speaks to our heart, and we try to justify our own sin. We try to justify, okay, God, yeah, I say that I love you. I understand what you're saying, but God, that's unexplainable. That's unreasonable. God, that's too much, is what our response is. And maybe why God preserved this, maybe why God showed us this and put this here in the Bible is to teach us and to show us, hey, God deserves our best, and we can give it. It gives an example of Abraham and God coming to Abraham and saying, I want your best. I want that thing you love the most to prove to you that you love me the most. Number 3, you see the result. And in verses 11 through 19, we've read it already. We see the result. We see how Abraham is truly blessed. In verse number 11, you see that how his son is not slain. God stops him, and so we see that. But he also see how he was blessed in the fact that he's reminded of the promises. Verse number 13, you see that there's a replacement given for Isaac. And the thing I think about this and I see about this, when God sometimes asks us for our best, doesn't mean he's going to always take it. Doesn't mean he's always going to take it, but it does mean that he wants us to be willing to do it. Sometimes it means, hey, I want you to put that sport on the altar. I want you to put that hobby on the altar. I want you to put that relationship on the altar. Is that relationship more important to me? Is that dream that you have more important to me? Are you willing to really, truly be a living sacrifice? God has already promised Abraham. And look what it says, verse 15. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in a blessing I will bless thee. And he reminds him of the great blessings that he's going to be. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And you think about that. He is the result. What's the result here? He's blessed by God. Say, God has given you those promises before. But God knew that Abraham was going to someday. God knows all things. God knows that this day and this moment was going to happen. God knew what was in Abraham's heart. God knew the faith was there. And I wonder how much God really truly would bless us. I wonder how much we would truly be blessed in our spiritual lives if we would learn to walk by faith like Abraham did. Now, did Abraham fail? He did. Two different times he said, Sarah, hey, tell him that you're my sister. Hey, did Abraham fail by going into Hagar? He did. He sinned. He did those things that were wrong. I understand. But he was called the friend of God in the Bible. And this is a beautiful example that, hey, God is coming for your best. He deserves your best. And even when you don't think you can give it up, you can trust him with it. Our heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. It tells us we cannot live without that, whatever that thing is. You think about that rich young ruler that came, and the rich young ruler came to Jesus, and what he said, he says, one thing. And he talked about that one thing that you're lacking. And the rich young ruler said, you know, I did this, I did this, I did this. And Jesus said, this is what you need to change. This is one thing. He talked about his riches. So all that you have and give to the poor. Follow after me. That's not going to get you to heaven. But that showed that rich young ruler, you're not as good as you think you are. That thing that is so precious to you and that thing that you're holding on to, you're not willing to give away, that is showing you, hey, look, you're a sinner and you need me. You need a salvation. And he says, you know, and he walked away grieved. And the reason why he walked away grieved was because there was something that was more important than a relationship with God. And in our Christian lives, we got to come to a point in the realization that we can trust God with our best. And that's what I like about the story. If we're willing to worship, if we're really, truly willing to worship in our heart and our lives, we can put our best on the altar and say, God, this belongs to you too. Whether it's our wallet, whether it's our relationship, whether it's our dreams, whether it's our child, God, I love this. Thank you for bringing this into my life. But I see in this story that Abraham trusted in you and you were still able to bless and you were still able to work, that I'm a living sacrifice, but not just me personally. Those things I love is something I'm willing to sacrifice for you. Now, I don't see God coming to an individual today and asking for this. Now, I'm not God, I'm not God's instructor. And this is after years of a man walking with God. About age of 75, we see Abraham. Abraham, you know, has Isaac, about 100. And Isaac here, people don't know how old Isaac is here. I don't know. Some people say as young as, you know, a teenager. Some people think it was even a little bit older. He's old enough to carry the wood. You know what he's old enough to do? He's old enough to run away. He's old enough to probably take old man dad and put him on the altar if he wanted to. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't do that. He obeyed. He listened. And the reason why he was willing to listen is because Isaac knew Abraham's relationship was real to him. Isaac knew that God came before him. And because Isaac knew that he could trust his dad, because his dad trusted in God, he was willing to lay down on that altar. To the parents, well, we put such an emphasis on our kids sometimes. We miss the point that they see if they mean more to you than God does. That's a challenge. You can trust your kids with God. You can put God first. And we had a little bit of a young adult activity yesterday, and I told them, our class, and I said to them, I says, not only is it your right to discipline your kids, it's your responsibility. They are capable and able. It is not something that is, they are not supposed to be your God. They are not supposed to be your life. God is supposed to be your life. Now, you're supposed to give yourself to them. You're supposed to raise them. You're supposed to bring them up and nurture admonition of the Lord. But you can trust God with your best. It shows us right here. Abraham said, okay, Lord. He was prompt about it. He was precise. He planned it out. It was a personal thing for him. He was saying, this is what true worship is. If I'm going to give my best to the Lord, it means that because I love him. Because I think he's worthy of it. So tonight, what if God comes looking for your best? I don't know what it is. Some people it's a car. Some people it's a job. Sometimes it's a relationship. Sometimes it's a child. Sometimes it's a sport. Sometimes it's money. But all those things. What if God comes asking for that? Remember, you're a living sacrifice. Is it something that you're saying, okay, Lord, that's yours? You're first. So when we're talking about being a living sacrifice, I want to remind you, you can trust God with your best. You can trust God with your future. Some people might say, well, my future is this boy or this girl. My future is this job. My future is all inside of this. All those circumstances can change. God is your exceeding great reward. God is your future. As we lay ourselves on the altar and say, I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice. God, I can even trust you with that thing that is most precious. The rich young ruler could have said, hey, you're God. You can have it. We can say in our own heart, in our own life, whatever it is. And it's hard sometimes to give up those things that we love. It's a challenge for me. It's easy to preach about, but many times it's hard to get. But there's something you love. There's something your flesh wants to hold on to. There's something your flesh wants to grab onto. It's not easy to say no. It's not easy to put something on the altar. And don't go negotiating with God saying, okay, God, I'll do this if you do this. He's God. We're a living sacrifice. You see in the story, Abraham does not do that. But in the end, Abraham gets it all. He has a son. He has the blessing. He has those things that have already been promised. He said, well, he was already promised that. Of course, he knew that Isaac was going to... God's given you how many promises? God's already told you he's going to meet your needs. God's already told you he can do things that are above anything that you even ask or think for if you're willing to live for him. Can you trust God with your best? Can you trust God with your future? Can you trust God with your children? Can you trust God with your mate? Can you trust God with your life? The answer is yes. Don't let the world try to convince you of anything else. Don't let the things of this world be not conformed to this world. But instead, be conformed to the image of his son. He can take care of you. Remember, he deserves your best. Whatever that is at the beginning, you can trust God with it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the story. As a father, it's a challenge to consider what it would mean to put myself in Abraham's spot. But Lord, you put it in your word to show us, God, you can be trusted. No matter what you do or what you ask, sometimes it is unexplainable. Sometimes it does mean our best. Sometimes it does mean that we're going to have to give something that's dear to us. But Lord, how much more you can give us in return? I think of the decisions in my life, requests that I asked God for you to give me. Your answer was no, because you had something better planned for me. Thank you, Lord, for not always saying yes. Lord, I consider in the story as an example, that thing that is so precious to me is something that you can take care of. Lord, I pray if there's some young people here that says tonight, Lord, my future, as much as I love it and looking forward to it, Lord, I'm willing to give it to you because I can trust you with it. I pray there be some parents here tonight that would say, maybe I've had a little bit too strong of an affection or put my child in the wrong place, and tonight I understand I can trust God with that child or those children. I'm going to do what he's called me to do because he's worthy. I'm going to worship him. I pray that maybe there's a husband or wife who is wrapped up in a life with their mate and not having God in the right spot, that would say, I want God to be first. Maybe there's someone in a relationship that could use the strength and help of knowing that God needs to be first in their life and foremost. Lord, I don't know all the different talents and all the different treasures that people have in this room. But Lord, help them to be willing to give you their best. Because we see here, God, you can take care of it. We can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.